holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Carrie DeFalco.
Holidays, and it's a great time to eat.
It is also a great time to drink, especially if you have the right kind of relatives. Here to talk about choosing the right craft beer for the holidays is the host of the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast, which can be heard in New York City weekends on AM 970 The Answer. We welcome the aforementioned Algatulo. Al, welcome to the show.
Kara, Ed, thanks so much for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you on. When I think craft beer, I think of one person. I think of you. All right, it's holiday time. Take us drinking, Al.
Well, it's such a great time to be a craft beer drinker. There are over, can you believe this, 5,000 craft beer breweries in the United States. Just in the state of New Jersey alone, there's going to be over 75
wow.
in the middle of next year.
Wow.
There are lots of great craft beers to have during the holidays, but you have to make sure that you're getting the right beer for the people that are drinking. You know, you've got a
yes.
lot of people that come in, they're Budweiser, Coors Light drinkers. We're trying to get them away from that. The easiest thing to do is to start them with something that a brand that most of them should know about, Samuel Adams.
Right.
When you think Samuel Adams beer, you think of the number one craft beer maker in America.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Cook has done such a great job since 1984 building his brand, and he makes a great Boston lager. But he also makes some great IPAs as well. Their Rebel Raw is tremendous. They do a couple of different holiday beers. If you're looking for something that's easy drinking, that people know the label, Samuel Adams is definitely the way to go.
Sam Adams is so popular, in my head, it wasn't even a craft brewery still. I really kind of thought it was, you know, a big name brewer like Budweiser. It's funny that's still what they're technically considered.
Because they seem so commercialized at this point.
Well, they are, but under the craft beer rules, they're actually still in that threshold of a craft beer maker. But, you know, that's what and listen, the purists of craft beer who homebrew and whatever, they would say that, well, Samuel Adams isn't technically a craft beer, but
mm-hmm.
actually... they are, and Jim Cook has done a tremendous job in helping the smaller craft brewers hone their craft, lend them money, and do lots of things for craft beer in general. So
very cool.
You know, when I think of craft beer, I think of the ultimate mom and pop business when it comes to beer. I'm driving near my house the other day, and I see an SUV, and it's done up. It's all painted up for some craft brewery, and it's some guy out making a delivery. And it's like the weirdest looking thing, but it's incredible how small these small businesses can really be when you are a craft brewer.
Yes, it is. And really, small business is the lifeblood of America. I mean,
mm-hmm.
let's face it.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys get into it because they love craft beer. Now, obviously, they're in it to make a buck. They're trying to make a little bit of money. Some of them, you know, it's enough to support their families. Obviously, some of them have bigger goals in mind. They want to be acquired by the bigger beer makers like AB InBev, who produce Budweiser and other big beers. But a lot of these guys get into it for the love of the beer. And when you're supporting craft beer, you're supporting local business, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Al, I kind of want to, if we can, I almost want to do like a little rapid fire game with you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I'm going to name something that people would normally serve for the holidays. I want you to name the first beer that comes to mind that would pair well with it. Okay, so a beef roast.
A beef roast. If you're looking at a beef, if you're serving a beef roast, what you really want to do is you want to serve a porter. And not so much a stout, because the stout's a heavier beer, and with beef, you don't want to combine those two. But a nice porter would grow great with a beef roast. If it's more on the spicier side, I would go with an IPA, because you want that bitterness to cut through the spiciness.
I like it. Okay, lamb, rack of lamb.
Ooh, rack of lamb. I'm going to take a guess, because I'm not a big lamb eater.
Okay.
But if you're going with a lamb, I would say something a little bit lighter, maybe a Pilsner, to complement the lamb.
Okay. Pork, if you were doing a pork tenderloin.
Pork tenderloin, an IPA would be great. You could go with more of a red type of ale, maybe a Pilsner, but definitely, because pork... If pork is basically bland, unless you spice it up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
then you want something with bitterness to kind of cut the spice.
I got to tell you, I'm incredibly impressed right now, because we've got the great mind of food meeting the great mind of craft beer. This is like, you know, as George Costanza once said, inventing plutonium by accident. This is amazing. I love this. Wow. You know, here's a question. When you have folks come over for the holidays and you have, you know, right. Uncle Amos, who doesn't drink anything except Meisterbrau when he drinks Budweiser, are people kind of standoffish? Like the older they get, I don't, it's too she for me. Do they kind of have to be pulled into a craft beer?
You know what? Ed, that's a great question, because they actually, they do. A lot of people are very stuck on the particular beer that they like, whether it's, you know, as we mentioned before, Bud, Coors Light, Heineken. And it's that initial getting them to try that first beer. That's why you see so many of these gastro pubs that open up. And it, when they do, they're stocking all these great beers, but they also have those mainstays in Bud and Coors Light and Heineken, because they know that that's what those people want to drink. I tell people all the time, just take a little sip of a particular beer. Maybe it tastes sort of like the beer that you're looking for. Like, mm-hmm. My sister-in-law asked me, she needed to get a Secret Santa gift for somebody, and the guy was a Yingling drinker, and Yingling's a great beer.
Right.
But she wanted something that was comparable to that. Okay, try Brooklyn Brewery. Brooklyn Brewery is similar to Yingling, and you know what? She said the guy tried it, he loved it. All it is about trying it.
Right. It's ridiculous that there's a stigma to, no, I only drink real beers. No, they're all real beers. And actually, I would want something that comes from a smaller brewery where there's more attention to given to the everyday taste of the product itself.
That's exactly right. And when you get people past that and they discover a craft beer for the first time, they never want to go back to those other beers. They always want to keep trying those new beers and exploring and whatever. And that's the great thing about a lot of these gastro pubs, is that they will give you the ability to try different beers. One place that's by me, they will give you little samples until you find the beer that you want. And then you can have that beer. It's
yes.
Perfect.
Wow. Yeah. And a lot of them will do flights. I know they'll say, yeah, listen, mm-hmm. Hey, we'll give you, you know, a couple shot glasses of each one, and you let us know which one you like, and we'll get you a big one. I think sometimes people are afraid to ask.
Right. Well, you know what it is? They're afraid to ask because they're afraid, oh, well, I'm going to get charged for it, because some places do charge. But
right.
most places will not charge you for a little, you know, 1 ounce sip of something just to see if you like it. And that's my wife is a perfect example. She's not a big beer drinker, mm-hmm. but I will get her to try different things until she finds something that she likes. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not something that I like, but it's something that she likes, and we're both happy when we're eating.
Tell us a little about how the industry has grown. I mean, it really started out as the typical cottage industry, but it's become so big on so many different levels to the point where you have a New York City radio show dedicated to craft beers. Tell us a little, not just like from a 2016 perspective, but like over the past 5-10 years, tell us how the industry has grown.
Well, Ed, you know what it is, and Kara, laws have changed in a lot of states to help people produce beer. New Jersey is a perfect example, because the laws were very archaic up until a few years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago. And we saw a craft beer bubble in the late 90s where people were jumping in because they were trying to make a quick buck, and it burst, and then it took a little while to get back and build strength. It took almost 10 years for people to really get back into the business. A lot of people more accessible to home brewing, and people realize, hey, mixing different recipes, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I can make a go at this, and that's where we're starting to see some of the successes where people make a go at it. Now, again, people are in it because they love beer. There are people that are in it because they want to make a quick buck.
Right.
But in the end, you've got 5,000 places now across the United States making craft beer. In comparison, there are 10,000 wineries in the United States. So craft beer has a long way to go, and I'm hoping that we don't see a bubble come back anytime soon.
And like you mentioned, there are some that are in it just to make a quick buck, hope they're going to stumble upon something and then sell it to one of the big boys. But then, you know, you have somebody like Sam Adams that became a big boy and is still a craft brewer.
Right. And Jim Cook has said it. I've interviewed Jim on my show. He's a great guy, and he actually has a great book out that he put out in April or May where he talks about, I think it was How to Quench Your Thirst. And it's basically his tale of how he created the business in 1984, and there's some fascinating stories in it. But he really boils it down to this. His company is 1% of the total beer distribution in the entire world. So
wow.
He said, I went from nothing to nobody to minuscule. That's how he looked at it.
All right. It's 9:15 on Christmas Eve. I'm looking at the Cthulhu compound in central New Jersey. There's Al. Yeah. He's got a cigar lit up. He's waiting for Santa. Give me that one craft beer that you'll be enjoying.
I probably don't have a cigar lit up in the house because I'm sure my wife will be yelling at me for that.
You're sitting outside. It's 4 degrees. What is the craft beer that you'll be drinking?
There you go. The craft beer that I would be drinking on Christmas Eve while waiting for Santa Claus would absolutely have to be a Founders Breakfast Stout.
Ooh.
These guys make a fantastic stout, oatmeal-based. There's a little baby on the label. It warms you up. It is outstanding. It's one of the best stouts out there.
And you can leave some for Santa with the cookies and the carrots or whatever the kids put out. So there you go.
There you go.
All right. Well, before we go, tell us again about your show and how people can listen.
Sure. It's heard on Saturday nights on AM 970 The Answer, usually at 8 o'clock Eastern. We kind of bounce the time around a little bit because we run a lot of sports games on the weekend. But the great thing is we have a podcast. You can listen to the show in its entirety afterwards. Just go to iTunes or Google Play. You do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast, and you can download any episode and listen whenever you feel like it.
Very nice. Well, he is fast becoming one of the foremost authorities on all things craft beer. Al Gattillo, as always, thanks for joining us here in America Weekend.
Ed, Kara, thanks so much for having me.
All right, stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalecki.
And I'm Kara DeFalco.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
She is one of the most successful doubles players of all time, capturing 112 titles, including 21 Grand Slam wins with her partner, Martina Navratilova. So where is Pam Shriver now? Pam married former James Bond actor George Lazenby in 2002. The couple had three children, but divorced in 2008. Pam has been a commentator for ABC and CBS and is currently with ESPN. While broadcasting Wimbledon in 2010, player James Blake took exception to the volume of her courtside commentary.
I'm just surprised
James Blake does, but I can feel it.
James just yelled at me for, I'm way above the court, but evidently he can hear me. He's got rabbit ears.
Quiet down, Pam. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Welcome to American Biker Minute 280 degree switchbacks. All but the most experienced wrenches detest having to wire a set of C-bars. Still, we're doubling the height and pullback of our old set. Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. After hours of staring at internet sites, we still couldn't find a true motorcycle Z-bar other than those identical to what we have. JP Cycles catalog is a last resort. Found a good-looking set. Twice the rise, twice the pullback of a set we've been running for years. Just what the doctor ordered for a reasonable buck and a half. Tall, fresh Z-bars along with the longer front fork tubes will really set the chopper off. Build in progress at AmericanBikerMinute.com. American Biker Minute, your passport to the old road on two wheels.